Well, amen. He is alive. Amen. We rejoice this morning because we serve a risen Savior who is alive. Thank you so much, choir, for being here. And they were here at the 8:30 service as well. And I'm so thankful for their dedication and service to the Lord. And they're going to go get some oxygen now to... Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Those who haven't been with us for the last few months, we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke, verse by verse and chapter by chapter. We have come to Luke chapter 5, but last week and this week, we are kind of fast-forwarding a little bit to get to the story of Jesus' death, his burial, and then today, his resurrection. And so today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. And I wonder if you could go back in time to a biblical event. I wonder which one of the all of the biblical events, which one would you choose to go back to? Some of you may decide that you would like to go back to the beginning, go back to the creation, and to be able to stand there and to see everything that happened on the creation day, to be able to see the stars for the first time and the lights for the first time, all of the wonderful things that God did that very first creation. Some of you may say, no, I think I'd rather go back to something miraculous. I'd like to go back to the crossing of the Red Sea, where God just stopped the waters of the Red Sea and allowed the children of Israel to walk through on dry land. Others may say, you know what? That would be nice, but I would really like to go back and see Daniel in that lion's den and to see how God just shut the lion's mouth and gave Daniel that grace and mercy. There's just so many events that we could go back to, and it would be amazing to be able to sit there and to see what took place. Others may say, you know what, I would like to go back to the time of Jesus. I'd like to have been there that night that Jesus was born. Just to hear the sound of that baby as for the first time it took its first breath and began to cry. To go back and to see the shepherds and the wise men as they come to worship the newborn child. Others say, know what, I'd like to go back to the time where Jesus was healing people. Just to see that experience and to hear him teach. And there's so many different things. But for me personally, I would love to be able to go back and to walk with those two disciples on the Emmaus Road. To be able to walk with those disciples after they had witnessed Jesus dying on the cross, after they witnessed all of the terrible things that took place, and then they're on that road and a stranger comes by and begins to talk to them. The stranger, by the way, was Jesus. They didn't recognize that it was Jesus, but it was Jesus. And Jesus comes by and he begins to talk to them about everything in the Bible that pointed towards him. What an amazing event that must have been like. What an amazing time that must have been. And the neat thing about it is, because of God's word, we have the opportunity to kind of listen in for a few moments. I want to take you there this morning. I want to take you back to that day. It's Resurrection Sunday. And there are some disciples who are making their journey back home. They had been to Jerusalem for all of the events. They've been to Jerusalem for all of the activities, the Passover. And now they're on their way back home. The Bible says it's about 7 miles to get home. They didn't have cars and those types of things, so they were walking, most likely, back home. And on the road, they encounter Jesus. And I want you to listen and to experience what they must have experienced on that day. If you have a copy of God's Word, I want to encourage you to look at Luke chapter 24. And in honor of reading God's Word, would you stand with me this morning as we read together? I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. The Bible says the following: that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? He said to them, what things? They said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word, and before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who, to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. So when they drew near to the village to which they were going, he acted as if he were going farther. But they urged, pleaded with him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? And they rose that same hour, returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you so very much for the day and for your many blessings. Thank you for your word, for the opportunity that we have to read it and to study it together. Father, I pray that you would allow your word to speak into our hearts. And God, help us to know who you are. And God, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts in the areas that we need to know. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. This encounter with these two disciples, the record of it only occurs in the Gospel of Luke. We know from verse number 13 that this encounter occurred on Resurrection Sunday. The Bible says in verse 13, that very day. What day? The day in which Mary Magdalene, Jonah, and Mary, verse 10 says, went to the tomb and found that it was empty. So Resurrection Sunday, this event takes place. We know by reading verse 29 that it was getting close to evening time. Verse 29 tells us that the day was far spent. All right, so the day is getting longer. The day is getting older. It's getting close to evening. We know by reading this passage of Scripture that there were two disciples. Now, we know one of the disciples' names was Cleopas, and the other disciple, we simply don't know who he was. We don't know his name. We don't know anything about him except that he was a disciple. He had followed Jesus for some time. We also know that these two individuals were discussing all of the events that they had just experienced. Have you ever experienced something and you just had to keep talking about it? I mean, you just something that happened, something you saw, something you experienced in your life, and you just continued to talk about it. They had gone through a traumatic experience. They had witnessed Jesus being arrested. They had seen probably him being lashed and beaten. They had watched him go through that mock trial. They had seen him carry his cross to Calvary. They had seen all of those things, and they were discussing everything as they were traveling, those 7 miles. We also learn that they were sad. The Bible says that in verse number 17. The Bible says that they were sad. They were disappointed. Verse 19 says that they knew something about Jesus. They knew something was different about Jesus. Verse 19, look what it says. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. These individuals, these disciples of Jesus, knew that there was something about him. They knew that he had come from God. They knew that he had performed miracles, that he had spoken and set before them something that was different from what the Pharisees were saying, something different than what the Sadducees were saying. There was something different about him. In fact, they said that he was a prophet. So they're sad. They're disappointed because he was no longer with them. And verse 21 says that they were hopeless. Look what verse 21 says. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. You see, they were expecting someone to come in who would be a military leader, who would give them victory, who would lead them to victory over the Romans. But Jesus was no longer with them, and they were still in bondage to the Romans. Listen, they were looking for political freedom, and Jesus came to give them spiritual freedom. They were looking for freedom from the payment of taxes, and Jesus came and he gave them freedom from the penalty of sin. So many times in humanity, we are always looking for relief from those things that are immediate, those things that are physical, those things that are temporal. But God wants to give us relief for those things that are spiritual and eternal. This morning, as you look at these two disciples, I believe there are many people here today who may fit into one of those categories. There are many people today who may feel hopeless. They may feel sad. They may feel disappointed. They may feel like they've lost faith. And my prayer is as we walk through this passage of Scripture that we would discover that because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, because he conquered death, because he conquered the hell, because he conquered Satan, we can have hope, we can have joy, and we can have peace. Because that's exactly what happens to these disciples. There's a dramatic, radical change in their behavior. A radical, dramatic change in their life. Why? Because they came to know Jesus. Four things I want you to see from this passage of Scripture. Number one, I want you to see this. Knowing about Jesus is not the same as knowing him. Knowing about Jesus is not the same as knowing him. So what does that mean? Well, notice what the Bible says. They knew something about Jesus. All right, they knew something about Jesus. Verse 19 and 20. Jesus asked them a question. What things are you talking about? They respond back to Jesus. They don't know it's Jesus yet, but they respond back to him. And they say to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man... Which, by the way, he was not just a man, he was the God-man. All right? He was God incarnate. He was a man, they said, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. You see, these two people, they knew some things about who Jesus was. They knew that Jesus spoke a little bit differently. They had witnessed probably some of his miracles. They knew and had heard him testify about himself. But yet they did not recognize Jesus. You see, the major difference is they knew something about him, but they did not have that intimate and personal relationship with him. And there's a dramatic difference. Knowing about somebody and having a relationship with somebody are two completely different things. The Bible says that they didn't recognize him. I mean, here they were talking with Jesus Christ, but they did not recognize him. And they tell us in verse 16 why they didn't recognize him. Verse 16 says, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Why is that? Because the timing wasn't right. And God is sovereign. And God wanted to reveal himself to these two individuals slowly and for a purpose. One scholar notes the following. It says, Jesus is not being cruel here. But his gradual revelation of himself allows them to learn certain lessons about trusting in God's promises. And so there they are. They're talking to Jesus, but they didn't recognize who he was. And I believe also they did not recognize him because they lacked faith. You see, they weren't expecting him. If they had really knew him, if they really knew him personally and intimately, they would have been expecting to see him. They would have been expecting to recognize him. They had heard the reports of the women. In fact, maybe some say that they may have even gone to the tomb themselves to check things out. And they knew that Jesus was not there, but they still didn't expect to see him at that moment. These two disciples, friends, were, listen, they were confused. They were perplexed. They were bewildered. They knew something had happened, but it was beyond their level of faith or their level of experience to see things as they truly were. And listen, they knew a lot about Jesus, but they did not know Jesus personally. They did not know him personally and intimately. And there are many people today who may be here this morning and you know some things about Jesus. Maybe you were taught some things about Jesus in college. Maybe you were taught some things. You read some things about Jesus. Maybe you've seen some things about him. But knowing about him does not make you a believer in Christ. Knowing about Jesus does not make you a Christian. Knowing Jesus personally and intimately is what it's all about. You see, God's desire is for us to come into a relationship with him. God's desire is for us to come into a relationship with him so that we can grow in our love relationship with him, so that we can grow to know him better day by day and moment by moment. Listen, once I got saved when I was 12 years old, I began a relationship with God. I began a relationship with Jesus. At that moment, I did not know everything I needed to know about him. I knew some things. I knew a little bit. But what mattered most was not what I knew about him. What mattered most was that he knew me. And that I began that relationship. I began that conversation. You know, there may be some people here this morning, and you know some things. You've heard some things. You've contemplated some things about Jesus. But have you truly come to know him personally? Is he your Savior? Is he your personal Lord? If not, this morning I pray that you would make that most important decision to trust in him, to make him your Savior, to make him your Lord, to know him, to begin that relationship with him. There's a massive, huge difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing him. Second observation I want you to see is this. All of Scripture gives witness to the truth of Jesus. All of Scripture gives truth, gives witness to the truth of Jesus. Look what the Bible says, verse 25 and 27. He speaks to them. He says, O foolish one, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. These people knew the prophets. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And here's Jesus' message. I would have loved to have heard this message. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. That was the message that Jesus preached. And listen, the message that Jesus preached was all about him. Here's what he did. He took the Old Testament and he walked the disciples, those two men, through the Old Testament, showing them how everything in the Old Testament points to him. If you have a copy of the Old Testament this morning, you have the record. You have the prophecy. You have everything. And listen, everything from Genesis all the way through Malachi is pointing us to Jesus. Listen, the Old Testament points us to Jesus. The New Testament shows us who Jesus is. And the book of Revelation shows us he's coming again. Amen? Look, just think for a few moments. Beginning with Moses. I believe that Moses authored the first five books of the Old Testament. And so beginning with Moses, he begins to show them that all of the Scriptures point to him. Go back to the book of Genesis. Think with me for just a moment. In the book of Genesis, we know that Adam and Eve committed the very first sin. As a result of that, they hid from God. God came and spoke to them. He announced to them the curse that was to be upon them. And yet they were still, the Bible says, naked and scared and afraid. So what does God do? God kills an animal. The first time in all the Bible that something is killed. God kills an animal, takes the skin from the animal, and makes clothing for Adam and Eve. And he covers up their nakedness. Listen, that points us to Jesus, because Jesus Christ had to be killed. He had to die on the cross. And when he died on the cross, his blood covers our sins. And so from the very beginning, it points us to Jesus. You can go to the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, we read about the Passover lamb, how they were to kill a lamb and take the blood from the lamb and put it on their doorpost. And when God came through, he would see the door on the door. He would see the blood on the doorpost, and he would pass over them. Jesus is our Passover lamb, friends. He is our Passover lamb. His blood was spilled. And so because his blood was spilled, if he has saved you, then he passes over. Turn to the book of Leviticus. We read about the Day of Atonement. We read about how the atonement can be made only through the offering of sacrificial blood. We turn to the book of Numbers, and we read how Moses took a serpent and lifted that serpent up on a pole, and the Bible says that every person who looked upon the serpent would be healed. That points us to Jesus, friends, because Jesus died on the cross. He was lifted up on a cross, and every person who looks to him will be forgiven of their sins. All points back to Jesus. But that's just the beginning, because he says he began with the Moses, and then he went to the prophets. Don't you just love the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah and all those wonderful prophets? What are they there for? They're there to point us to Jesus. You can look at the book of Isaiah. The Bible says in Isaiah that the Savior would be wounded for our iniquities. He would be pierced for our transgressions. If we turn to the book of Jeremiah, we read that the scriptures say that he will be mocked and he will be abused. If you turn to Zechariah, the scripture says that he will make atonement for the entire land in one single day. All of these prophecies find their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's only the beginning. It says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all of the scriptures. And so on that 7-mile journey, he takes the Old Testament and he points every one of those passages of scripture, all of the Old Testament, he points out himself. The point is this: Jesus wanted them to see. Jesus wanted them to know that the only way that they could believe was to be able to trust in what the scriptures say. The only way that they could believe is to trust in what the scriptures say. There may be people that have told you things about Jesus. There may be people that have told you, they may have told you that Jesus is just one way to get to heaven. They may have told you that Jesus was just a good man. They may have told you that he was just a great prophet. But listen, friends, if those things do not line up with scripture, then they are false. We need to make sure that we go back to the scripture and we follow what the Bible says about Jesus. That's one reason why it's so important that you believe all of the scripture, that all of scripture is trustworthy and is profitable and is good. The message is this. The message is Jesus wants you to know who he is. And the way that we discover who Jesus is that we allow his word to speak to us. We allow his word to show us. But the problem is if we never open up his word, then we can't expect for him to show himself to us. We've got to take time to open up his word. We got to take time to get into his word, to study it and to understand it. Listen, the scriptures always reveal to us who Jesus is. The third thing I want you to see from this passage is this. The more fellowship you have with him, the more he will reveal himself to you. The more fellowship you have with him, the more he will reveal himself to you. At the end of that journey, they come to the village. They come to Emmaus. And they arrive at their destination point. And the Bible says that Jesus acted as if he was going to go a little bit farther. Verse 28. Verse 29 says that they urged him. They pleaded with him strongly, stay with us. They wanted more. They wanted more of what they were hearing. They wanted more of what they were experiencing. So the Bible says that he went in to stay with them. Notice this. Notice that Jesus did not force himself into their house. He did not force himself into their house. That's significant. Because I believe the same thing is true today. Jesus will not force himself into your life. He must be invited into your life. He must be invited into your heart. And listen, that's exactly what they did. They invited him in. But listen, Jesus doesn't want to be a guest. He wants to be the host. He doesn't want to be a guest. He wants to be the Lord. Notice what happens in verse 30. Very interesting. The Bible says that after they came in, when he was at a table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Normally, this would have been the job of the host. The host was the person who was supposed to break the bread. The host was the person who was supposed to do that. But in this particular instance, Jesus takes over. Why? I think there's a significant spiritual lesson here, friends. The lesson is this. Jesus will enter your heart as a guest after you invite him, but his desire is he wants to be the host. He wants to be the Lord. He wants to take over and be in control of our lives. And only after he had fellowship, only after they began to have fellowship with him, are their eyes opened. Look at verse 31. The Bible says that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Listen, if you want to know Jesus, if you want to really know him, not know about him, if you want to really know him, then you've got to spend time with him. If you want him to reveal himself to you, you've got to spend time in his word and you've got to spend time in fellowship with him. Listen, it's not going to happen automatically. It's not going to happen by attending church one time a year. It's not going to happen even by attending church once a week. It's going to happen as you begin to develop a relationship. Listen, anytime we have a relationship, it costs, doesn't it? I mean, if we have a relationship with one another, it's going to cost. It's going to be an investment. I've got to spend time with you. You've got to spend time with me. And listen, if we never spend any time with each other, there's not going to be much relationship. And so if we want to know Jesus, if we want to get to know him better, if we want to get to know him more intimately, then we must spend time with him. We must fellowship with him. The point is that in intimacy of fellowship, that Jesus reveals himself to us. His working in our lives becomes clearer. His love for us, his protection, his provision comes into focus. He reveals not only more of his character and his working, but also he reveals to us his presence and his desire. Before we move to point four, I want you to look at verse 31 again. The Bible says their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Can I ask you a very simple question this morning? Have you recognized Jesus? Have you recognized Jesus? Listen, as I pray through this passage of Scripture, as I pray through this message, one of my prayers was this. One of my prayers was that people that are here today would recognize who Jesus is. Listen, I can't open your eyes for you. Only God, only the Holy Spirit can open up your eyes. But whenever we begin to see who Jesus is, whenever we begin to experience that intimacy and that fellowship with him, then our eyes are open and we are able to see who he is. Have you recognized Jesus? If not, I want to plead with you. I want to urge you that before this service is over, you would trust him. You would invite him to be the Lord of your life. You would invite him to take control of your life, that you begin that personal relationship with him. Have you recognized Jesus? The fourth thing I want you to see is this. When we know him, we cannot help but share him. When we know him, we cannot help but share him. I want you to see that these disciples, they go through a radical transformation. Remember I told you at the beginning that they were sad, They were despondent. They were hopeless. But notice what happens. I love verse 28 and following, verses that follow here. Verse after they recognized him, verse 32 says, they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? Have you ever been to a meeting, a revival service maybe, or maybe just a preaching service, and man, the message just seemed to just be speaking right to you. The preacher knew your name, it seemed like, and it just seemed like it was just coming right at you. That's what they were experiencing. The message burned in their hearts. And verse 33 says, and they rose that same hour, and they returned to Jerusalem. Now again, you got to keep in mind the context. The context is this: the day was getting longer. The evening was upon them. Most likely it was dark. Roads traveled at night in Jerusalem were not a very safe place. In fact, it was it was discouraged for anybody to be on the roads after daylight. But yet these two disciples, who once were despondent, once were hopeless, are now willing to leave everything behind and get on that road and for the next 7 miles go back to Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but I kind of picture them, you know, kind of on the first journey. Then they were just kind of hunched over and talking to each other real slow, just walking along. And they were sad. They were despondent. It's just been a bad day. But now something's happened. Now something's changed. Now they have seen Jesus. They recognized him. How do you think they went back to Jerusalem? I bet you then they were sprinting back there. Let's go. You know, let's get the 10K going. I mean, they were moving. They were excited. Why? Because the Bible says, and they rose that same hour. They returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. Look at verse 34. And they said to them, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Listen, these two disciples, they were overcome with joy. They were overwhelmed with the realization that Jesus Christ was alive. Jesus had risen from the dead. He was alive, they said. He is alive indeed. And it changed their perspective. It changed their outcome. It changed everything about them. And I believe that every one of us who has experienced the risen Savior should be so moved with similar emotions. All of us who have come to know him, to have come to realize who he is, we should not be able to contain our joy. We should not be able to contain our excitement as we think about Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead. Man, they were excited. They ran back to Jerusalem. They announced to all their friends, he is alive, he is risen indeed. I wonder if it makes that same type of impact in our lives. I wonder if it makes that same type of impact in each of us. Or do we just go through the motions? Yep, it's another Easter Sunday. Going to put on my best clothes and go down there and stand and sing and go home. Is that it? Is that it? No. No, friends, it should cause us to have joy in our hearts. To have joy in our hearts to know that we serve a risen Savior. We serve a risen King. Listen, those who worship Muhammad, they can go back to their grave and dig it up. They'll find bones. We worship Jesus Christ. We can go to his grave and we'll find it empty because he is alive. He is risen from the dead. When we put ourselves in this picture, when we think about those two disciples, I want you to ask this question. Would you have invited him in? I mean, if you'd have had that journey along that Emmaus Road and had that conversation and you come to the house, would you have invited him in? Most of us would say, yeah, sure. We'd invite him in. Let me ask you this. What keeps you from inviting him in today? Because Jesus still, he still wants to come in. Now, obviously not physically, and he's not going to come physically knocking on your door this afternoon. If he does, please give me a call. But he does want to come into your life. He does want to get to know you personally. He does want to have that intimate relationship with each one of us. And the question is, will we invite him in? The question is, will we get to know him? Will we allow him to come in and to change our hearts and to change our lives? Listen, these disciples were changed. Why? Because they realized who Jesus was. They realized who Jesus was. They realized what a difference he could make. So this morning, if you feel like you are hopeless, you feel like you've lost faith, if you feel like you've lost peace, I would encourage you today to trust in Jesus. Would you pray with me? Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. As we think about knowing Jesus, we think about him being invited into our hearts and our lives. If you're here today and you have never trusted in him as your Savior and your Lord, if you've never invited him into your heart, into your life, I want to encourage you right now, right where you are, just to pray with me. You can pray this prayer right where you're seated. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you died upon the cross for my sins. Dear Jesus, I want to invite you into my life. I want you to be my Savior, and I want to make you the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for being resurrected from the dead so that I can have eternal life. As we continue to bow our heads together, if you prayed that prayer just a moment ago and you really, truly meant it in your heart, you want Jesus to come in, you want to invite him to be the Lord of your life. If you prayed that prayer this morning, would you just lift your hand so that I can pray for you? Anyone else? I prayed that prayer. I want Jesus to be the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you know Jesus is the Lord of your life, but there's that intimacy, that fellowship is not real. You've not gotten to know him much over the years. Maybe today you would make a new commitment to say, God, I'm going to make you Lord. I'm going to know you better. Maybe you would pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, help me today. Help me to know you more intimately, to get to know you better. Father, to read your word, to understand that relationship that you want me to have, to share that with others. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is alive. Father, we thank you so much that he conquered death. He conquered hell. Because of that, we can have hope. We can have purpose. We can have a relationship with you. Father, I pray that you'd speak to every heart that is here this morning. Father, help us not to go through the motions. Help us, God, to listen to you and to respond to you and to your word. If we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. The invitation is this: if you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, I'm going to stand right down front. As we begin to sing, I'm going to ask you to walk down these aisles. All the aisles lead right down front. I'm going to ask you to walk down the aisle and to come and allow me to pray with you, to trust in Jesus, to make him the Lord of your life. If you need to come and make another decision, whether you want to join this church body or you want to just maybe just bypass me and come and pray here at the steps, Let's just listen to God speak to our hearts this morning. He's done so very much for us. What have we done for Him? Would you stand with me? We're going to sing, Jesus Paid It All. All to Him I owe. Let's listen to God speak. You respond. You respond as God leads you this morning.